I didn't even know I was at the pretrial. This is what happens when you represent yourself and you're an idiot. Is that you don't even know what the difference is between a trial and a pretrial. I was like ready with my Atticus Finch like speech of just like, judge, jury, I stand before you today, the owner of a good boy.
Let's do it.
Howdy, folks. Welcome to another episode of Horse Feathers. I am your host, Jake. This is Dallas's number one independent podcast by all measures of which I am aware. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. If you like what you hear today, you can find more of all this nonsense at patreon.com/horsefeatherspod for $2 a month. There you can get more of the same, but things that, you know, I'm okay with sharing behind a paywall as opposed to on these free episodes. But thank you regardless for your listening and for your patronage. Had a good time. I just came in from a walk with my dogs in the park after a court case. I had a court case that involved the park. I don't know if you've heard about this. I can't remember which episode I told it on, but long story short, I had my dog off leash at the park that I just got back from with the boys, and I got a ticket for that. 300 biggins from the Municipal Court of Dallas, Texas. So me and Dallas, despite being the home of Horse Feathers, and despite Horse Feathers being the number one independent Dallas podcast, we had beef. Me and the city of Dallas, we had beef for a while, and I didn't want to say too much earlier, but it has been resolved. The beef has been squashed. All right. I'm happy to announce that I am off the hook as far as the state is concerned, so long as I behave myself and Shiner behaves himself for the next 90 days and I don't get, you know, like another ticket or whatever. I got it deferred. All right. After going to the courthouse twice for pretrial hearings, because I was just like, this is some bullshit. And then thinking about it for a long time, and looking at the evidence that the prosecution gave me, they gave me the body cam, which I was sure that he didn't have on because, I don't know, he just didn't seem like the kind of guy who would remember to do that. But he did. He had it down. And you can kind of see where Shiner goes off leash. And so I knew that legally I wasn't going to get away with being like, where was he at large? Now, according to the state, according to the city, rather, he was at large. He was off leash. And I can convince them all I can, you know, until I'm blue in the face, that my dog would never go anywhere that a tennis ball was not. But I knew that that was probably going to be a losing battle legally, and I was just going to get frustrated. And so went to the courthouse. Luckily, the prosecutor was an idiot and the judge was kind. And that's a 1-2 punch, dude. That's a 1-2 walloping punch. If you want to get a little bit of slack cut on a ticket or on something like that, just by appearing at court, some of the times they just lop off a big chunk of change, or they dismiss it or whatever. I think they're lonely up there, because that was his last word. He was like, thank you for coming up here and taking care of this, right? The judge was very earnest about like thanking me about coming up here. I think they're just lonely up there, dude. Ever since COVID, everything's online. The prosecutor was not even in the room. He was on a big old screen on a Zoom call. It was just me and the judge. I think the bailiff went out for donuts or something. It was a real chill operation, okay? It's nothing like in Law and Order, like, dun, dun. You know, it's not anything so dramatic. And I was keyed up. I mean, you know me. I was, like, really angry about it for a long time. And I was ready for something of a fight, or at least like a moral victory. But I figured, you know what? That old Kenny Rogers song came into my head. That old Kenny Chesney song came into my head. She thinks my tractor's sexy. No, the Kenny Rogers song. You gotta know when to hold 'em. Know when to fold 'em. No end to walk away. And I had to make a decision at that point, after reviewing the evidence and realizing, yeah, they kind of had me, I had to make a decision on what to do. Was I going to keep this going into an actual, like, trial instead of just the pretrial? I didn't even know I was at the pretrial. This is what happens when you represent yourself and you're an idiot. Is that you don't even know what the difference is between a trial and a pretrial. I was, like, ready with my Atticus Finch, like, speech of just, like, judge, jury, I stand before you today, the owner of a good boy. It is certifiable that my boy Shiner would never hurt a fly, and there must, therefore, must be, you know, and it's not even about the dog, it's about me, the owner of the dog, the quote-unquote actor. That's how impersonal it is. It's like, Jacob C. Hall, hereby known as actor. It's like, damn. You can call me Jake. All right? You can even call me this asshole. That would be more personal than actor. Whatever. But I was the one who acted. But Shiner was the one who went after the boss. So it's really, you know, it's a toss-up. 50-50. Who's at fault here? He's staring at me. But anyway, I went into the courtroom. It was me and the judge and then the man on the screen. And I got to say, the prosecutor is a real dweeb. I think that helped my case out a little bit, too. I think because the prosecutor was literally, you could tell even on the Zoom call, he was one of those guys that's just like constantly bumbling and fumbling with papers. Just like, oh, sorry. Like the judge would ask him questions and he'd be like, oh, you know, I haven't reviewed that. He gave like the old GT or pre-AP answer for research projects. Whenever the teacher would ask you something extra at the end, you could say, I did not find that in my research. That was the old honors kid way of getting out smooth of a difficult question whenever they had like half-assed a project or faked it or whatever. I did not, thank you, Ms. Smith, I did not, for asking that question, I did not find that in my research and would like to pursue that further. That's the way you get wiggle out of that. Anyway, what the hell was I talking about? Yeah, so the prosecutor was a dweeb, and you have to be. I imagine you have to be a public prosecutor, because one of two things is bound to happen. You either are watching too much, like you went through law school, you did the whole thing to become a municipal prosecutor, and I'm sure in your mind it looks something like Law and Order whenever you're getting into that, whenever you're going through law school. He was a younger guy, may have been my age, maybe a little younger, a little, just somewhere around my age. But this is where his life had led him, and it was either going to go one of two ways for him, and I don't know if he realizes that now or if he's just kind of going through the motions, but he probably watched too much Law and Order back in the day, and he thought, you know what, this is going to be me. I'm going to catch the baddest of the bad guys. I'm going to take down, just for the good of the city, I'm like legal Batman, I'm going to take down enemies of the public and do this, you know. But that almost never happens. That kind of shit is like the Olympics of law enforcement. Like, what you're going to end up doing mostly is prosecuting my dumbass with my dog for being off leash and being at large. Again, that animal at large charge makes it sound like I was chasing livestock down like a busy freeway. He was with me the whole time. The tennis ball is a psychological leash. And I keep George on an actual leash because God only knows what's going on with his psychology. I mean, he has no masters. He doesn't care about anything but food, and I don't bring food with me on the... Maybe I should start bringing treats. I don't know. But anyway, George stays on the leash. All right? We don't trust George. He's run out in front of cars. Neither of them know what cars are, but at least Shiner is attached to the ball. It doesn't matter, okay? Regardless, the state can... Or the city can leave me the fuck alone. Every day that... You know, leading up to that day that I got the ticket, and every day since, I have seen people at that park, this huge park, with their dogs off leash. And it's fine. 99.9% of the time, it's fine. And yes, there are signs up that say, keep your dog on a leash. And yes, of course, there are some psychos out there that just let their dogs, regardless of training or regardless of knowing the dog yet or not, just let them go off leash. And sometimes terrible things happen, right? Maybe a baby got snatched out of a stroller, and that's why... You know, by a loose pit bull or something like that, and that's why. But I doubt it. Okay, It's probably just the cops hassling people that, you know, they're just trying to get a little bit more money. We don't have, you know, state income tax, and so they got to get it another way through tickets. I don't know anything about that. I don't know. I'm talking out of my ass. But in any case, I was in there, and the prosecutor was a dweeb. Like I said, who wants to become a public prosecutor? You're going to end up just like doing petty stuff like this. And how do you feel good? I don't know how you feel good about yourself after like prosecuting a civilian for like being a narc. You're a narc. That's all it is. Congratulations. But the judge was kind. The judge was a kind old man. I can't remember his name, but I'd vote for him. I don't know if you vote for, I'm pretty sure you vote for judges, but I'd vote for him based on how I was treated in this particular pretrial hearing. He kind of got on to the prosecutor for not having his stuff in order. And he was talking to me, and he was the first one in this whole case, because I've already been to one pretrial hearing to get to the discovery and all this stuff, and looked at all the discovery that the prosecution had, and nowhere did anyone, in the first judge and the first prosecutor who are different than these guys, nowhere anybody asked the name of the dog except for this judge. And he said, and you know, I don't see the name of the dog listed here. And he was very serious, and I was like, oh, Shiner. Shiner, uh-huh. And how old is Shiner, and how big is Shiner? I was like, oh, he's about 6 years, he's about 50, yeah, probably 55 pounds, you know, somewhere in there. He's like, oh, he's a big dog. And he's very serious. He's like, yes, sir. Yes, Your Honor. You know, yes, Your Honor. I know that from Law and Order. You say, yes, Your Honor. And on the Zoom call, there's like the court stenographer. Is that who types all the stuff or takes notes or whatever? There's a couple of other like people on the Zoom call that don't participate, but are there just, you know, I imagine clickety-clacking away, typing things as a matter of public record. And in this hearing, the judge asked me, and I'm sure that Shiner thinks that he is a lap dog, doesn't he? Again, very deadpan, very dry. And I was like, oh, yes, sir. Yes, Your Honor. He absolutely does. The first time that I got him, he jumped in my poor grandma's lap and squished her a little bit. But yes, that's so it is a matter of public record that not only is Shiner a dastardly criminal. And we joked a little bit about that, like, well, has Shiner learned his lesson? You know, he's what he was asking. He was just like, as long as you and Shiner can stay out of trouble for the next 90 days, because I did a deferment. That's what ended up happening, was it like the prosecutor was like, well, we can meet again and do another pretrial hearing. And the judge was like, we're either going to settle this now or go to trial right now, or not right now, but later. And the prosecutor gave me the options. I was like, have you looked at it? And he's like, no. I was like, I'm tired of this. I will take the deferment. And it was going to take the ticket down from like 300 to 210. I was like, whatever, dude. Let me just pay this, get out of here, and leave me the fuck alone. And then I was like, I'll take the deferment. He took it, the prosecutor took it down from 210 to 150 and then sent it to the judge over a printer or a fax or something like that. A fax. He sent it to the printer, PDF or whatever. And then the judge took it down another $25. And I paid it as long as I paid it right then, which I did. Brought it back to him. He said, now you and Shiner stay out of trouble. I said, yes, Your Honor. Thank you for your time. And that was it. So, you know, me and Dallas, the beef is squashed. I'll pay $125. I wasn't about to pay no $300. That's really why I went up there twice, is because I was not fixing to pay $300 for something so inconsequential. No pedestrians or dogs were harmed in this whole case. All right. All's well that ends well. And I consider the $125 just a fee, you know, for getting away with it that many times. Because I knew it was like technically against the law to have your dog off leash. Everybody knows it's an implicit norm to have your dog off leash, but if you get caught, you get caught. And it's dumb, but it is what it is, baby. We live in a world bound by red tape. You can't just go anarchist on your local police force and start, God forbid, doing things like throwing a tennis ball to a dog. Anyway, so that's settled. But we just got back from a walk, all right? And I've minded my P's and Q's. Shiner is no longer allowed off-leash at that particular park. Instead, we found an empty lot around the corner from the park and have been using that, but you didn't hear that from me. There's no signs, so I think it's fine, but we're not going to the park anymore other than to, you know, just kind of see who there is to see and sniff all the sniffs. We got to sniff all the sniffs, man. You got to go on your dogs, with your dogs on their journey whenever you walk them. Let them sniff stuff, even if it takes a while. Don't let them eat it or roll in it. That's where we draw the line. That's where my personal boundaries are. You got to let them sniff it, though. And what better sniffs are there to snoof other than the park? So we do walk around there, and everybody stays on a leash, and everything's all good. And the best part of it is that there's a tennis court out there that occasionally provides a free tennis ball to Shiner. Where, you know, outside of the tennis court, in the grass outside of the tennis court, there might be a... We always check it out, because there might be a spare tennis ball. I haven't paid for a tennis ball since I've moved here. And that's a fact. I don't think I've paid for a tennis ball ever. They're kind of falling. If you're a dog owner and your dog likes tennis balls, you start to see them everywhere. You start to try to be a good dog owner and pick up, you know, wherever they are. And this is what we do here. And my thoughts, you might be saying to yourself, Jake, that's stealing. That's theft. Somebody paid money for those tennis balls. You did not. Why would you, you know, while people were there playing tennis, why would you let your dog take, because really I just let Shiner take it. He sees it and he takes it. I'm like, okay, whatever. But today there were two. And I got to be honest, I took one and Shiner took the other. Because the poor thing, he couldn't decide. He couldn't decide which one he wanted. He was, this is the dog that's no, he's Saving Private Ryan of dog toys. No toy left behind. And I saw the pain, the physical and mental pain it was causing my poor boy. And I picked it up and I put it in my pocket. And he grabbed the other one. And we went on our merry way away from the tennis courts before somebody could see us. Now, again, if somebody is listening to this that is the owner of those tennis balls, I'm just kidding. I'm talking about a video game I was playing today. It's called Dog Walk Simulator. Okay, this actually just happened in a video game. But regardless, I grabbed it, he grabbed it. Because my thoughts are, you know I didn't pay money for it. I know they're not my tennis balls, and I guess I would get annoyed. But there's so many tennis balls. Like, everybody that goes to play tennis there, they're, like, taking a lesson, a private lesson, or they're there. Like, tennis is a rich person's sport. It's up there with golf, okay? You got, there's not too many tennis courts around, you know, just to have a pickup tennis game. So, like, it's like, you know, golf in that regard. It's like, if you want to know whether or not tennis is a bougie sport, look at the brand deals that these people get, okay? Tennis players get, like, watch deals. Now, why would they advertise that if their base of constituents wasn't, you know, rolling in it? So, rolling with the Rolex. So, I don't feel all that bad for taking their tennis balls, because tennis balls are cheap and all that. But mostly why I don't, and they're rich, and mostly why I don't feel bad is because get better at tennis. If there's a big fence all around the tennis court, and if you are so bad at tennis that the ball is escaping the court, whether you are not there to prevent someone from knocking it out of the court, or you're bad enough to knock it out of the court yourself, that tennis ball's, that's fair, that's public access tennis balls right there. And I think there was even one that had like a name, like Donna, written on the side of it, like in fuzzy Sharpie. It said Donna on it. It was the one that Shiner had in his mouth. And I was like, sorry, Donna. This is now Shiner's. Get better at tennis. Stop sucking. If you were better at tennis, this wouldn't happen to you. It's, as far as I'm concerned, it's like losing a golf ball in a water hazard. If you're worried about losing equipment, get good. Get good. Otherwise, we're snatching that stuff. Again, in a video game, if anyone is listening. So, you know, we still like going to the park. We still like breaking the law a little bit. We get a little bad, okay? Maybe sometimes, you know, maybe sometimes we steal a tennis ball from around the tennis court. Maybe sometimes daddy goes to the grocery store and gets an organic avocado because it happens to be the ripest, and hits regular avocado in the self-checkout. Ooh, He's bad. Maybe he does that every once in a while. Maybe he types in the wrong amount of cucumbers he buys. Ooh. And sneaks them out. I don't know. But, you know, little things like that I feel like are victimless crime, except for Donna. Donna's probably going to be looking for that tennis ball. I know I hit it out here. He's like, yep, you did hit it out here. And now it's ours. It's the public's. It has left the safety of the tennis court. And now it's ours. Anyway, so that's going great. The boys are great. I'm between gigs right now. I just got back from Abilene, Texas for what will probably be the last time in a long time, helping my friend Shay, friend of the show, move or pack all his stuff up and move to Chicago in a U-Haul. They're taking off. He and his wife and his dog are taken off from Abilene, from living there for a long time, and you know, that was going to be 3 hours down the road. Now it's either a couple hour flight or like 7 or 8 or 9 hours on the road. It's a lot more than that, actually, to Chicago. So now that I have them moving to Chicago, and I've got other friends that live in Chicago, I've got plenty of friends in Dallas, and you know who you are. All right, basically, if you talk to me, you're my friend. but the ones that are moving to Chicago are old friends and good friends and longtime friends. And now they're starting to try to pressure me to move to Chicago. Jokingly, you know, that kind of, haha, come on, you know, time to move here kind of thing. My brother does the same thing with Arkansas. And I got to say, after my trip with Arkansas, pretty tempting. I'm ready to, as John Prine says, blow up your TV, throw away your papers and move to the country and build you a home. Maybe not quite yet, but we're getting there, folks. We're getting there. If I ever get, oh, watch out, dude. If I ever get like a really good pay, really well paying remote job, poof, I'm going to convince Lauren to live in a van. But now they're trying to convince me to go to Chicago, and we can't do that. Like, Lauren will freeze her extremities off in Chicago. It's too cold up there right now. But what I have assured them is that when Texas becomes uninhabitable physically. All right, I was driving the other day. There was signs everywhere. They were like orange, you know, and I know we've have air quality things for quite a while, but it was just like, don't breathe. The orange, it was flashing on the highways. Like, don't take a breath. Okay, just turn on that thing that just recirculates the air in your car on your air conditioner. And I hope it works, because if you breathe for longer than 30 minutes outside, you're going to die. You know, there's like one of those things. So, and it's just getting hot, and like the lakes are going down, creeks are going down, there's no water. Like, Texas is on its way to being uninhabitable. What do you mean, brother? This is a Lone Star State out there. Yeah. Okay. Keep it up, dude. That's, you know, there's this whole thing in Texas about like what the Republican Party wants to do, you know, with the state, what they think should happen with the state. I don't know if you've heard, but things have been a little nuts politically lately. And I try not to get too wrapped up into it, but I just can't help it sometimes, dude. Just can't help it, especially when, you know, the people I work in a public sector, and the people that make the decisions are the ultimate ones in charge of my job as a teacher in education. So I try to not get too lost in it, but you can't help but keep up with some of it. Texas legislature. Texas Republican Party platform. That's what I'm looking for. I mean, it's either going to be that the place burns. Something's going to happen within the next 15 years. Either the state itself is going to be physically uninhabitable, or they'll strip so many rights away that it will be politically uninhabitable, socially uninhabitable, to where you have to move somewhere just to live. Like, eventually, I asked friend of the show Shay. I asked him. I was like, you know, are we descending into barbarism? Because it just feels like people are getting crazier and crazier. He's like, no, we're descending into a techno-fascist state. I was like, oh, good. You know, there's all this stuff about, if you have a period tracker, to delete it because they can use that to prosecute you in some cases. If you do that, but there's like all these resolutions in Texas that are a little bit nuts. These are the principles. Well, the preamble is this. Here's the preamble. Okay, it's a little nuts, and I won't read the whole thing. Won't bore us with that. But this is the preamble. Affirming our belief in God, we still hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, men, and that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Throughout the world, people dare to dream freedom and opportunity. The Republican Party of Texas unequivocally defends that dream. We strive to pursue the freedom given to us by God, implemented by our founding fathers, and embodiment of the Constitution. We recognize the fraternity of the God damn it, dude. Here are the principles. Number one, the laws of nature and nature's God, and we support in its the strict adherence to the original language and intent of the Declaration of Independence of the Constitution of the United States and of Texas. What does that mean? Bring back slavery. Number two, the sanctity of innocent human life created in the image of God, which should be equally protected from fertilization to natural death. There it is. Three, preserving American and Texas sovereignty and freedom. Four, limiting government power from those items enumerated in the United States and Texas constitutions. Five, personal accountability and responsibility. Six, self-sufficient families founded on the, you know, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. There's all sorts of stuff about wage laws. We believe the Minimum Wage Act should be repealed. One of the things, so that's cool. They're getting paid too much, these Wendy's workers. They're getting paid too goddamn much. We've got to release the chains that we've put around our corporations so that they can thrive and so that that money can then trickle down to the people that... No. So that's a fun one. They've got one about the environment. The big, thick one about the environment. It says, we oppose environmentalism that obstructs legitimate business interests and private property use, including the regulatory taking of property by governmental agencies. We oppose the abuse of the Endangered Species Act to confiscate and limit the use of personal property. Yeah, they're not super big on the Endangered Species Act. They're like, nah, we don't need them. Keep killing them. We don't need them. It's all about business, baby. Oh, I mean, it's just, there's a lot of stuff on here. Vehicle registration should only be a one-time occurrence at the point of sale. Okay, I've got to think that those safety inspections would get out of hand. They've got it all, folks. They got regulatory burden on fantasy sports. We support action by the Texas legislature clarifying existing state law without attaching new taxes or fees to the fantasy sports industry, which would grow the size and scope of government. Hey, we like to pretend that our fat asses are out there on that field because they are winning because of our picks, and we are tired of the government infringing upon these rights. Water resources, probably something terrible. They don't like the mask mandates and the COVID liability and all that stuff. Lower taxes across the board. Unions. We support legislation requiring labor unions to obtain consent of the union member before that member's dues can be used for political purposes. We oppose card check. Texas should prohibit governmental entities from collecting dues for labor unions' deductions. Blah, 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 blah. It's just... There is some rough stuff in here that's just like, well, maybe they're right. Maybe that's... No, it's all... Family values. We support the affirmation of traditional Judeo-Christian family values and oppose the continued assault on those values. Shut up! Shut up! Keep it to yourself, dude. That's the whole thing. My religion does not permit me to do this with my body. Sweet, don't do that. Well, you shouldn't either. Nope. That's it. Stop there. You can do whatever you want. But, you know, relax a little bit. So this is what's going on, and there's a lot of stuff going on. We're only page 8 of 33. I'm not going to subject myself or you to all this, but it's just whether in 10 to 15 years, one of two things is going to happen. Either the arid, desert-like landscape with few oases. What's the plural of oasis? Oasi. Is going to force climate refugees. That's going to be a new fun term that you're going to need to memorize. Climate refugees, to where I'm physically forced to move to Chicago because it is one of the few remaining temperate areas. And it'll be like it'd be like 110 degrees in Chicago or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it'll be like, and that's what we're going to consider temperate at some point. Mark me words. So anyway, we'll eventually be moving to Chicago one way or the other, either by an increasingly techno-fascist Judeo-Christian state or wildfires and drought. One way or the other, it's the manifest destiny, baby. That's the new manifest destiny, is to move where there is still water. Anyway, on that note, let's take a break, and I'll be right back with some other things. Stick around. Hey, folks, welcome back. Very excited to introduce our new theme song for an oldie but a goodie segment on this show called Kick It, Boys.
One, two, three.
News that's important
for you.
That's right, another edition of News That's Important to You. Some of it is actually important, some of it is not. The stuff that I would consider actually important would be things like the Roe v. Wade thing, and how the Supreme Court is like taking us deeper and deeper into a theocratic fascist state. You know, things like that. And maybe you disagree. Maybe you think Roe versus Wade being overturned is a good thing, but that's because you only get your information from one source. And it's not the Bible, I'll tell you that much. In any case, what I'm super frustrated about is the fact that the people that are supposed to do something are not doing something, and that would be the folks that are apparently pro-choice, which is the Democrats. Now, again, this is not I keep saying this is not a political podcast, and it's not explicitly, but the more fucked up shit that keeps happening in our society, the more I'm going to have to talk about it, all right? And that's just that. And so we'll try to relegate that to the News That's Important segments. But you got to get a load of these ding-dongs. And by them, I mean the ding-dongs that are singing, the Democrats, that in response to the Roe v. Wade thing outside SCOTUS, they stand on the stairs and they sing God Bless America. They sing God Bless America, and this is what it sounds like. And they suck at singing too. That's the worst part. It's like if you were actually like if you got some good voices in there, then that'd be fine. But they're all just this posturing, dude. Nobody wants to do anything. Except for people on the right. They're very good at doing things. Terrible things, but they're very good at doing things. These ding-dongs are supposed to be in there fighting, and they're out here singing, you know? There was a whole thing from the most useless vice president. If there was such a thing. If there was a useful vice president, I don't remember. But the most useless one is by far and away Cop. The cop known as Kamala Harris. She's sitting there watching TV. She released a tweet that had her watching TV from the plane, okay, from the private jet that we provide for our leaders. You know, it's just a weird look. It's like, I want you to know that we are thinking about it. We are thinking about it so hard, dude. We're thinking about it so much. And luckily, people are starting to say things like this. whenever they start to posture. You know, voting blue is not enough. Democrats, we call your bluff. And that really is the thing. It's like, okay, if we're going to vote you in, you got to do something. Can't do nothing. You got to do something. You can't do nothing. Because otherwise, you know, there's only one set of opinions that is allowed more and more and more. And then we get back to the dark ages and, you know, that's how you get Handmaid's Tale. Do you want Handmaid's Tale? That's how you get Handmaid's Tale. You know, it's obviously terrible, and you can get the news and all that stuff about it from other sources, and you know, it's really sad to watch. I think that as far as my personal theological and my personal theological and political stance can probably be summed up into this speech right here. It comes actually from a sermon from a guy named Jeremiah Wright, who was like Obama's big like preacher or whatever until he dumped him or something like that. Anyway, here it is. Maybe not.
Where governments lie, God does not lie. Where governments change, God does not change. And I'm through now. But let me leave you with one more thing. Governments fail. The government in this text, comprised of Caesar, Quirinius, Pontius Pilate, Pontius Pilate, the Roman government failed. The British government used to rule from east to west. The British government had a Union Jack. She colonized Kenya, Ghana, Nigeria, Jamaica, Barbados, Trinidad, and Hong Kong. Her navies ruled the seven seas all the way down to the tip of Argentina in the Falklands. But the British government failed. The Russian government failed. The Japanese government failed. The German government failed. And the United States of America government, when it came to treating her citizens of Indian descent, fairly, she failed. She put them on reservations. When it came to treating her citizens of Japanese descent fairly, she failed. She put them in internment prison camps. When it came to treating the citizens of African descent fairly, America failed. She put them in chains. The government put them on slave quarters, put them on auction blocks, put them in cotton fields, put them in inferior schools, put them in substandard housing, put them in scientific experiments, put them in the lowest paying jobs, put them outside the equal protection of the law, kept them out of their racist bastions of higher education, and locked them into positions of hopelessness and helplessness. The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the Bible for killing innocent people. God damn America for treating her citizens as less than human. God damn America, as long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme.
Now, strong words from that Reverend Dr. Jeremiah Wright. I mean, he's not wrong. It's how I feel, especially whenever the people who are supposed to be, you know, doing it are just like, well, let's just sing God Bless America and let's just be thankful for the rights that we do have. And instead of, no, God damn America, especially as it, you know, continues on in the way that it's been going. And I'm not, you know, Nancy Pelosi made $17 million in 2020, while a lot of people suffered, and she's supposed to be the leader of the Democratic Party, which purports to be for the people, but nobody's for the people that's in charge. That's what it is. And they're old. They're so goddamn old. Like, all of them. Every single one of them. Everybody who's in Congress is ancient of days. It's like a requirement that you have to be old as shit to be in any kind of control. and they have an idea of doing politics that's just not conducive with the way that the world works now. It's just not. They're like, literally, like, how old is Nate's? What is the average age? Average age of how of Congress? Let's just do that. The average age of members of the House was 57.6 years, and of senators, 62.9. That is the average. Okay. Oldest living congressman. Let's do that. He turned Wolf became some guy named Lester L. Wolf became the oldest living former member of Congress. He turned 100. Oldest living current congressman. Excuse me. Burp. 10 oldest members of the current United States Congress. Thank you. This is what I wanted. This person was born in Steny Hoyer was born in 1939. Old as shit. Maxine Waters, she's a Democrat, and she is 83 years old. Old as shit. Shouldn't be, like, imagine the old people that you know being in charge of everything. And this is the problem. And I know it's it's like ageist and everything. And I will say that there are a lot of old people that I know now that are very progressive. You got to find them. You got to look for them. They're a little quieter, but overall, old people are set in their fucking ways. And the world has changed. And here we are with these old fucks in charge of everything, understanding nothing. Hal Rogers, he's 84 years old. Okay? Bill Pascrell, never heard of him, but he's 85 years old, born in 37. God, he looks like shit. Grace Napolitano. They're all Democrats, by the way. They're all, she's 85. She looks better than all of them. Eddie Bernice Johnson, also a Democrat, 86 years old. Looks like shit. Jim Inhofe, 87 years old. He's a Republican from Oklahoma, and he looks like about as hateful as a Republican from Oklahoma is. Actually, he's got some shit on him. I'm pretty sure he's done some terrible things. He's known for his strong conservative views, including rejecting the scientific consensus on climate change, banning same-sex marriage, and proposing the Inhofe Amendment, which would make the English the national language of the U.S. Die already. I don't wish death upon you, but I wish that you would, by natural causes, go ahead and leave this plane of existence. Richard Shelby. See, these the oldest ones are the most conservative. That's it. He's 87 years, Richard Shelby. 87 years old. He doesn't look 87. He's got good hair dye. From Alabama. Let's see, what is his, did you know? He's the longest serving senator for over 35 years. 35 years has allowed his brain to rot by being a member of the elected. Like, just get out of there, dude. Here's one who's 88 years, and he's a Republican, Chuck Grassley. And then the oldest one is, drumroll please, Dianne Feinstein. She's 89 years old from California, and is one of these people that is just not doing anything, just taking up a lot of space where more progressive people can take their place. But they're just so old, dude. Think of the old people that you know. Think of how, like, think of the old people we cover on this podcast that don't even, like, know how to use social media and all that shit. Like, they shouldn't be in charge of anything. These are the people who are, you know, running the country. Look, I think there should be new age restriction rules that don't have anything to do with age, but it has to do with, like, ability. If you can't drive, if you're not allowed to drive because of your current mental state, bye. And that's got to be a lot of them, right? They've all got drivers. They've had drivers for years and years. But if you're too old to drive, you're out. If you're old enough to remember events from the 40s, you're out. Sorry. Oh, but that's ageist. What if, yeah, find something better to do with the twilight years of your life. Find something better to do other than try to get, I don't know what the, At that point, if you're that old, like when I'm that old, when I'm 88 years old, if I'm not wishing and praying for death, I'll be on my porch playing the banjo. And that's it. Like, I'll either be doing one of those two things when I'm 88 years old. Lauren will probably be long gone. Not because I'm going to, like, murder her or anything, but that's just, like, kind of the way that things are probably going to go. She's already said she wants to go first. And given the state of our health, I don't know, it's kind of a neck and neck race because, like, I don't take care of myself very well, and she's got an autoimmune disease, so we're really racing to the end here. But regardless, even if she's alive, God bless it, we'll both be on the porch, and I'll be sitting there, you know, just playing the band. I don't want to be running the country. I don't want to be making policy decisions or getting yelled at. Aren't you tired of getting yelled at? Wouldn't you rather just fade into obscurity like you someday will anyway? Here's the thing. If your pillbox, first of all, if you got a pillbox, that's red flag number one. But I know people got pillboxes. It's all good. You got to stay organized. I understand. It's all good. I know young people with pillboxes. It's fine. But if your pillbox has more than two rows, enough. No more. No Senate. If you're so focused on, if you got to have all your pills in like a calendar looking pillbox where it's just like, if you got a 5x7, you know, okay, you got to make sure that you take this medicine for, if you're being held together by the miracle of modern science and good healthcare that I'm sure you can afford because you are doing insider trading or whatever, then you're out, dude. Let a young buck in there. And I'm not saying that young people are like, have all the answers or anything like that, but these old fucks sure don't. I don't know, man. I just think that it's, you know, it's time to change some things. Because the way it's been going, it's not been working. And in fact, it's been doing the opposite of work, which is to say that things have descended further and further into chaos. Anyway, let's end on a lighter note. Let's see what O.J. Simpson has to say about the Supreme Court decision.
I think women should have the right to decide. I thought it was a horrible decision. I think women should have the right to decide what happens with their bodies.
Interesting choice of words, O.J., that women have a choice to direct what happens with their bodies. Just surprising coming from you. If you want to understand more about O.J. Simpson's thoughts and politics and things like that, he is on Twitter just playing golf, saying hello, Twitter world, and giving opinions. So give him a little follow, okay? Really interesting to see a person who we're pretty sure is a murderer talk about women's rights. Let's see here. We've got a nightmare cruise situation.
Holy shit.
Where apparently an engine has failed on a cruise. And then all the furniture starts sliding around. And the roof falls on a guy's head. This was apparently... Yeah, there's... The piano's bolted down, thank Christ, but the rest of it is sliding around pretty violently as the waves keep going. A lot of old people here, kind of a little bit afraid, a little unstable on their feet anyway. Yeah, so that's reason number 638 that I'm not ever going to go on a cruise. Why would you go on a cruise? Like, what is there? Just go to a nice hotel. You don't have to take it up to the high seas. Because what happens when an engine fails and things just go topsy-turvy, okay? There was that one from Carnival where it had all the... I can't remember if it happened at the same time where I had this podcast and I covered it, but basically the Carnival cruise, you know, had like shit coming down the walls because some of it failed and they were out there for days and no thanks. My buddy Dan just went on a cruise and he got engaged and I'm very happy for him. And he saw lots of grease and that's great, but the second... That ship shut down or something went wrong with the ship, he'd be screwed. I'm out. I'm not going to put myself in a Titanic-esque situation where I might drown. It's not worth it. The free buffets are not worth it. That's all there is to do on a cruise anyway, is the buffet. I don't know if I've talked about this, but there's a billboard in Dallas for a Carnival cruise that said, "Let's get Funderstruck." You did not mishear me. I said Funder as in father, like F as in father, Funderstruck. Okay, as in struck with thunder. And I immediately wanted to drive off the highway and take a couple of cars with me. That's the worst fucking billboard I've seen since I Make Sexy Teeth by Mint Dentistry, which is still up, by the way. Those things are still up. But Carnival Cruise has Funderstruck as a, huge letters on. Oh, good. They have a video to go along with it. Let's see what these stupid sons of bitches at the marketing department of Carnival Cruise Lines think that Funderstruck is. Let's see.
What's Funderstruck on Carnival?
What's Funderstruck? Funderstruck is...
Are you guys ready to get Funderstruck?
I am.
Funderstruck!
They're just screaming it.
You got Funderstruck.
I hope that you guys all got struck with, like, with cholera from, like, recycled shit water or something like that. There's roller coasters on these things now. There's all sorts of... Most of it involves drinking, you know? Cruises from 289 with a big old fat asterisk on there. 289 probably gets you, like, a little closet and, like, three complimentary drinks. Just a nightmare situation and a nightmare way to market it, being Funderstruck. Just somebody got promoted because of that. Or fired and they used it anyway. I don't know. But there's another, I keep getting weird, no kids cruise commercial. Yeah, Virgin Voyages. Virgin Voyages have say no kids on their ships, which is interesting, and they come out with this.
Mama, Papa, was your suitcase packed but not mine? How could you leave us kids behind?
Damn, it's a banger.
Parents are going on a cruise without us kids, and we know.
I just wanted to stop it right there. And we know whose fault this is. Virgins. But they have a no kids cruise, which I think that would sweeten the deal for me. The idea of having no children running across the deck and smelling up the place and making noise and splashing things. I understand, you know, that. But, you know, it is kind of nice that they are marketing negligent parenting as a part of the Virgin Cruise experience. Anyway, I'm not doing cruises anytime soon. Not doing any kind of cruises. Oh, by the way, we've got some more uploads from the good folks in that Canadian church that do the weird crucifixion musicals with pop culture. Here's one from episode 4, A New Hope. It involves Han Solo, Chewbacca, C-3PO, I think Leia makes an appearance, and a lot of dancing stormtroopers. Let's listen in, see where we're at. This is Han Solo. And again, not real sure what's going on with the whole background, not sure how this ties into Star Wars, but here we are, rapping to current song. You got the stormtroopers out front doing TikTok dances, and you expect that kids, this is the thing, you expect that kids that are watching this like VBS crazy like pop culture mixed things, that they're gonna go and they're gonna sit in their Bible study and they're gonna look at their Bible and try to make sense of where the connections were, why the songs were used, why Star Wars, all that stuff. Here's another just banger from one where they did, this one's a little rough. This one, I don't know why it doesn't have more views. This one comes from a Star Trek, excuse me. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Star Trek, you know, iteration of this. And Lieutenant Hikaru Sulu, played in the series by George Takei, a man of Asian descent. This is how they treat that particular character. They also have themselves an Asian fella up there in Canada, and they make him sing this. Listen carefully.
This is how we do it from where I come from.
This is him speaking.
This is how we
My
do
God.
It.
So, lots to unpack there. They're using the kung fu fighting thing. It's just because he's an Asian guy. And what's really funny is what you heard in the background was one of the singers who didn't know the key, didn't know where to start, because it actually starts with that, oh, ho, ho. So listen to the white guy in the background botch that one more time.
From where I come from.
Jesus Christ. In the face, you gotta go click the link and look at this one, because his face that he's making, he's looking at the production team like looking backstage like, is this the part where we start? Meanwhile, the guy who's playing Sulu is just bowing with his hands pressed together to the beginnings of kung fu fighting. Let's hear that one more. That super confident and not at all insecure first few notes from the background singers. Whoa, whoa, ha, whoa, 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 and then they get on it. But my God, if you're gonna be racist, at least sing it good, you know. Like, if you're gonna be a little bit racist, you might as well sing it good. You know what, though? As far as musical productions today, this is the only thing that you need to hear and see. These are, this is what happens when you put chicken feed on a pair of bongo drums. And I think that we need an entire ensemble of chickens on a bunch of different types of drums and just scatter the feed and see what happens. I think that could be a big hit. You could take that on the road. There's a little cleanser for you. A little bit of a... let's just keep in going with the music theme here. I don't know if you know about Dave Matthews. Now, Dave Matthews, you either love him or you hate him, kind of. Or you're indifferent, but if you're indifferent, then the people that love him think that you hate him. My friend Dan is one of these people. He's a Dave head, a Dave slave, they call themselves, inappropriately, I think, but whatever. And, you know, they tour constantly. I mean, Dave Matthews Band tours constantly, and every single one of their shows, as far as I understand it, is just one long jam. Just one long, the band is like 14 people deep, and they're just playing all sorts of crazy deep cuts. And people follow him like they do the Grateful Dead, like they do with other bands. Like, it's an obsession. He was on maybe a couple things. Maybe he was just high on life, man. Maybe he was just high on the love of Jesus Christ. But it seems like he was having some trouble the last time that his band played at he was rolling off of something. Let's see what he's got. Let's see what he says in between songs to the good people.
We will be playing in between what already happened and what will be happening. For your solely for your entertainment.
His eyes are as big as saucers. First of all, he looks like a dad. I mean, he's just the most dad. He is a dad, I think, but he could not be more of a dad look that he's rocking right now. Just like a dad taking his wife out for their, you know, their 23rd anniversary, and he's taking her to the Cheesecake Factory, and he's dressed for the Cheesecake Factory. You know, that kind of vibe. Not like international rock star kind of, which again, wear what you want, but he just looks like, he looks like every youth pastor from every contemporary church that I've ever been to.
We come here bearing the gifts we are capable of giving. Thank you so much.
So he's just saying, apparently he's tweaking out a little bit and saying some weird stuff. And there's another video here that I'll link that has him just dancing like a Looney Tune. Now I can't hate, actually. His dancing is kind of like mine at a wedding. But he also always sounds like he's on something. He's... Me and my buddy Anthony shouts out, friend of the show. Always made fun of my friend Dan, also a friend of the show, who really loves Dave Matthews Band. And we said, you know what? We finally understand your love for Dave Matthews Band. And we created a playlist of all of his greatest songs. And it was just like 14 copies of Crash Into Me. Yeah, dude. I mean, he's fine at music, but eventually, like, you lost the plot, dude. If you're just like a 40, how old is Dave Matthews? How old is David Matthews? Dave Matthews. He is, drumroll please, 55 years old. Again, you know, I'm all about living that rock star life, dude, but you're 55, you know? How long do you want to keep doing this? How long do you want to just keep tripping on stage? And if that's what you want to do, do it, my guy. I'm not going to stop you, but maybe be a little less obviously high and say less crazy shit. That's the other thing, too. We encounter, you don't want to go so far to where you're in Smash Mouth territory, right? To where you're just shithoused on the stage and doing Nazi salutes, all right? There's a thin line between what kind of drugs you decide to do and what kind of person you want to become between what Dave Matthews is exhibiting here and what the lead singer of Smash Mouth has exhibited lately, of just like going a little crazy. So gotta be careful, dude. You can't fly too close to the sun. It's a young man's game, drugs. Gotta watch them. Gotta be careful. All right, folks. Well, that's all we got for this week. God bless Dave Matthews. Fuck the Supreme Court. Everyone stay safe out there. Be good to yourselves and others. Check out patreon.com/horsefeatherspod. If you want more of the same, more goody goodness. All right, guys. Love you. Mean it. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye.